Welcome to Therapy in 10, where Darcy and Hannah combine both their lived and professional experience to bring you a fresh take on mental health, tackling tough questions in just 10 minutes. Each episode is chock full of stories that will make you cry, laugh, and restore your faith. We're so glad you're here. Hey everyone, welcome back to Therapy in 10. I'm Hannah and I'm here with my friend Darcy.
Good day, everyone.
This is episode 4 of our season 3, Faithful Yet Struggling. And today's episode is titled, Why Does God Love Me? In our last episode, we tackled the difficult question that many people are Googling, which is, why does God hate me? So today we're going to talk about the question of why does God love me, especially after maybe we think all the horrible things I've done, right? So we talked about the fact that one of the ways to uproot shame is to focus on the attributes of God that tell us who we are or help us solidify our identity in Him. So I think we hear a lot about God's love, right? And while I think most of us would agree that we've always been told it was unconditional, that's obviously hard for us to fathom in our world today. I mean, everything in our world is based on performance and conditions, even in sometimes the healthiest of human relationships, right? I mean, we might have the intention of loving our spouse or whoever, you know, unconditionally, but people make us angry, you know, like stuff happens. And it's not that necessarily like we stop loving them, but I think it's hard. It's just something that's not within our capacity to fully fathom how to love someone without condition. I think it's one thing to choose to love someone that you've made a commitment to. And obviously love is a choice. And we don't always feel love for other people, but we can choose to love them for many different reasons. But that's not how God loves us. And that's what we're going to focus on today. But He doesn't love us because He has to or He's obligated to. He's actually not obligated to do anything at all. He's God. So, and I know we've stated in previous episodes, you know, God would be completely justified in rejecting all of us based on our sin. But He chose not to. God is love. It is an integral and crucial part of His character. So it cannot be separated from His nature. Every single thing that He does is from a place of love, whether it feels like it in the moment to us or not.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, anything to do with God is hard for our imaginations to fathom. You know what Touché. I mean? Like, it's just, right? But I want to explore, like what you said God is love. So I want to explore the passage in 1 John 4:7-10 that tells us, is love. Like that's his very essence, like Hannah mentioned above. Mm-hmm. So it says, my beloved friends, let us continue to love each other since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God because God is love. So you can't know Him if you don't love. This is how God showed His love for us. God sent His only Son into the world so we might live through Him. This is the kind of love we're talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and damage and the damage that they've done to our relationship with God. So this is the Message version, which I'm kind of in love with mm-hmm. lately, because it really just, it just portrays the emotions, I think, when you're reading these passages very well. But regardless, the type of love that God has called for, that has for us, is called agape. And this is the highest form of love. There's also other types of love mentioned in the Bible, like philia, which is brotherly love, or self-love. But agape is the love of God for man and of man for God. And the beautiful thing about this love is that it embraces a deep and profound sacrificial love. It is a sacrificial love that transcends and persists regardless of circumstance. So if we just read that last part again, regardless of circumstance. Mm. So we're all sinners. We've all made mistakes. We don't deserve this love, you know, mm-hmm. but it's given to us. So C.S. Lewis, he writes in a book called The Four Loves, and he recognizes that this selfless type of love we're talking about, agape, as the greatest of the four loves, and it is a virtue, a Christian virtue to achieve. So guys, because God is love, he offers us a way out of our shame. And this was fulfilled when Christ was crucified and he wore the weight of our sins. It's up to us as to whether we carry or wear the burden of guilt, and maybe like whether we feel unloved. That's a choice for us because we are always loved by God. So he's offering us a way out of this heaviness. You know, he's given us freedom from our shame and guilt, all because he loves us so. He loves you. He loves me. His love is infinite. On our episode, Uprooting Shame, I talked about what I call the 5 D's, and I'm not going to go into great detail, but what I want to show you, this is what I do with my shame, and I let God destroy my shame. So the 5 D's, just briefly, this is kind of disgusted, damaged, disappointed, dirty, and defective. And this is just something I came up with. It's nothing, you know, scientific or anything like that. But basically, this is how I break down what shame caused by my sin, or the shame that's not caused by my sin, whether it's just due to living in a fallen world or to somebody else's sin done upon me. But this is how I break it down, what it does to me. So I say what it makes me feel like. So I say, but when I come face to face with this, with the sin or the circumstances that has caused me to feel this way, then I can address what I'm feeling with God. So I bring it to him and I say this. So for me, I say, this illness for me, this mental illness that I have, has me feeling defective and damaged. It even makes me feel disappointed in myself.
Lord, help me to work
through these things, work through these feelings of shame that I don't want to carry anymore. I want to lay them down. What do you want me to learn or take away from this trial or testing? Lord, help me to see the good in the situation and help me to focus on you and not my earthly confinements. So God has certainly, and I'm just going to give you guys some examples because I've worked through this a lot. Like I honestly don't carry, I can honestly say I don't carry any shame when it comes related to my illness anymore. I just don't. I don't have time for it. I don't want it, you know, and I know who I am, but that's because I know who I am. And I know that I am loved by a God who accepts me exactly like I am, exactly like I was created. And God has used people to help me destroy the shame and the fallout that it causes. And I just remember specifically, I remember two friends that said something to me that really stood out. And I remember the first one, this was after I went through my first psychosis. This is a good friend that I had, college buddy from Auburn. And she said, none of this, she came to visit me shortly after. And she said, none of this changes the way I think about you or love you. And then the other one, I remember, this is one of my crazy girlfriends too, but I was telling her about one of the times and we were reminiscing about something. And she goes, you know, I said, oh, my crazy self or something like that. You know, I said something degrading to more self. It was more degrading than that. And she says, I think you have a beautiful mind.
Oh.
And yeah. And I know for a fact that what God has done for me, guys, he will certainly do for you in the way that is suited for you and your needs. You just have to ask him. You want to lay that shame down. So just ask him and seek him.
I love that. I love the part where you talked about how like our sin and our circumstances cause us to like feel a certain type of way about ourselves. Like the way that we feel about ourselves is often a lie, right? Like, and it's brought on, like you said, by maybe some sin that we've done, or something that has happened to us, a circumstance, something that someone else has done to us. I know, obviously in my line of work, like I talk to a lot of people who've experienced a lot of really bad traumas, and even like just bad relationships, unhealthy relationships, different types of, you know, physical, emotional abuse. Like people go through things and, you know, they can start to think like, gosh, maybe this is just the best that there is out there for me, I guess, you know, or I'm the common denominator. I keep getting myself in these bad relationships. It just must mean that I'm not worth loving. Right. Narrative that goes on inside our heads, you know, that's kind of, it's all lies from Satan, right? But I think it's important to like call that for what it is, you know, and like to remind ourselves of like who God is and the fact that he is love, and that it's not within his character to not love us. Like, I know you're not supposed to use like what double negatives as a writer, but like he can't not love us. Like that's just what he does. It's who he is. And so I love thinking about just that concept and how we can't ever get outside of that. You know, it's not like this we're fenced in and somehow I can get outside of this, outside of God's love. Like, we cannot escape it. I mean, there's so many examples in the Bible that I love about Jesus, like, actively seeking out those that the world would consider either unlovable or who were actually unloved. I mean, like, Matthew was, people did not like him. I mean, he was one of the first that Jesus called, and people didn't like him. He's a tax collector. They were notorious for being, you know, dishonest and stealing from people. And we don't have any indication that Matthew himself was that way, but that's how, you know, that was his reputation. Zacchaeus, the woman at the well, I mean, the Samaritan woman, there's so many stories about Jesus actively making a point to seek out the people that the world hated and mistreated and who the world didn't think were deserving of love. But again, that's just how God loves. That's who he is. And this just brings me such great comfort sometimes when I, you know, think about the things that I myself have gone through, other people have gone through close to me, when I'm trying to offer comfort to others, is that no matter what happens to you in this world, what somebody says to you, how they treat you, what has happened in your past, what sins you have, any of that stuff, like, God's love literally just overwhelms and washes away all of that. And it just, it stands no matter what. And I just find such comfort in that. And I hope that those of you listening can as well.
Yeah, that's, yeah, lots of great examples in there, especially the woman caught in adultery as well. You know, and that kind of goes into, ties into the verses that I'm going to talk about here in just a second. But yeah, it's, you know, I don't think that it's, I don't want to do another double negative, not, it's not wrong that people feel guilt. If we didn't have guilt, then we wouldn't know right from wrong. If you have didn't have that conscious feeling of this is wrong and these are the way it makes me feel, but it's about whether we're going to stay there or not. You know, like, and that's what I'm about to get into, is about how we don't have any condemnation in Christ. And so it's really up to us whether we're going to lay that down and keep moving on. So I was listening to a podcast, the Romans 8:1-2. And it says, there is no condemnation in Christ. That's just the general basis of it. It says, and when you're talking about condemnation, guys, because I know, look, I have to look up big words all the time myself, but it just means that it's an act of strong disapproval, or like a sentencing someone to punishment. So when you think about it in that verse, it says, therefore, there is no condemnation, which means he does not keep a strong disapproval of what you've done, or he's not going to punish you. For those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So guys, we must just simply ask ourselves, you know, why would we continue to condemn ourselves, to punish ourselves personally, when we are set free and not condemned by God, who loves us big, who loves us unconditionally, just because, you know, love is its very essence, and our souls are made to give and receive that love. So guys, he offers his love, his salvation, his grace, mercy, forgiveness as gifts, free for the taking, all to set us free. So our only message to you today is just don't delay in accepting these gifts. You know, don't waste another minute condemning yourself for the past or even present actions that are happening. Instead, lay those down and run fast after the one with open arms.
And, you know, when you mentioned the part about, you know, punishing ourselves, that just really, again, with my line of work and the clients that I work with, that is such a common thing that people, you know, they feel like, even if they've, you know, repented of something, or if they, even if they've been like a victim of something, or they've made a mistake or whatever, like, the people punish themselves because they, like, mentally, you know, or they just beat themselves up mentally, and their inner narrative and the way they talk to themselves is just so, like, that basically they're telling themselves, you know, I'm worthless. I don't deserve anything good. Like, I'm getting what I deserve. You know, no wonder my life is horrible. Like, look at what I've done. Like, and it's just this constant narrative. And I work a lot with people of, like, you know, how to, you know, redirect their inner narrative, and like, what does your self-talk look like? And so I guess that's like the therapeutic aspect that I'm just kind of like throwing in. Like, if, I mean, if you are in Christ, like all the things that Darcy just said, like, there is no condemnation. You are, that God doesn't look at you and say, oh, look at all that person's sin. He doesn't see it. Like, if you are in Christ and he has saved you, he looks at you and sees the blood of Christ, like you are redeemed. And so like, that's our name. It's our identity and we're loved. And so, yeah, like changing that inner narrative of like, even if I don't feel it, I am who God says I am. And I think it's just looking in the mirror every day. And instead of the normal things we would say to ourselves, which we've talked about, saying, I am Christ's beloved. I am loved. I am redeemed. It's just, if you make a habit of it enough, it will become what you believe.
Absolutely. I've stuck, I used to stick sticky notes up on my mirror. Mm-hmm. Just inspirational quotes or just reminders of you are his daughter, that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. So that's one thing that you can do. Everybody goes through a season of negative narratives, inner narratives. Yep. I think we're going to have that throughout our life. And it's mm-hmm. just something that we have to say, what did I hear Priscilla Shire said the other day about our prayers pushing back the darkness? So mm-hmm. in everyday life, we have to learn to push back that darkness. Because if you let it keep growing, it can consume you, and we don't want to go that far. You know what I mean? So,
absolutely.
But guys, if you are getting something out of these talks, tell a friend. We're going to wrap up this one today. And next week, we are still in the series of Faithful Yet Struggling as we talk about the middle or the in-between period while we are waiting on getting to the good part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So be sure to follow us on Facebook at TherapyIn10 and on Instagram at Therapy_in_10. And our podcast is available on all your favorite listening apps. Until then, we hope you have a blessed week.